We are continuing our series on prayer. Let's open up to our foundation text, Matthew chapter 6, beginning with the fifth verse, talking about the subject of prayer. This is commonly referred to as the Lord's Prayer, but I know you've heard me mention this ad nauseum, that this is the Lord actually teaching his disciples how to pray. So this is more aptly named, or should be called, the disciples' prayer. And the Lord's Prayer that the Lord actually prayed is found in the Gospel of John, the 17th chapter. Having said that, if you're there at Matthew 6, I'm reading again out of the New American Standard. Let's start with verse 5. When you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so that they may be seen by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. The reason for that, again, as a reminder, is because prayer is to God and for God. And it's not to be seen of men. And your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Verse 7, and when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. So do not be like them. Why? For your Father knows what you need even before you ask him. So asking him 1,000 times for the same thing is not going to cause God to, okay, I'm going to do this now. He already knows what you need even before you ask him. What a mighty Father he is. Yeah. Verse 9, pray then in this way, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. May your name be hallowed, regarded as holy, respected. Name, your person, your majesty, all that you are. 10, your kingdom come, verse 10, your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And most manuscripts don't have this, but if it was added, but we'll still read it. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And that is true. So it doesn't hurt to pray that prayer. Father God, thank you for your word, the reading of your word. May we receive your word tonight. Enlighten us like never before concerning your word. The entrance of your word gives light, revelation, understanding, clarity. Father, we're begging for all of that. But all of that, we're asking for you to do that for us so that we may do the word, that we may do your word, that we may obey your word. Have your way through me, Holy Spirit. Thank you. You're the teacher and I am not. Father, speak to us, for your slaves are listening. In Jesus' name, amen. Quick review. Prayer is defined again as intimate communion with God. You want to tell us that definition every time? Yes, I am. And the reason is, one of the reasons is because you've heard it so that when someone comes to you with it, it'll just come out without even you thinking about it. Prayer is communion with God, intimate communion. It is discourse, conversation, dialogue, discussion, two-way communication with our personal Father, who is our God himself. That's good news. What a therapist he is. What a life coach he is. We can have dialogue. We can have discussion. oh man, prayer and all that. Don't you got it formal and you say this and you kind of just say a few words and use your King James Elizabethan voice and these and thous. Don't you got to do all that? No. Do you have to do all that to your wife or your husband that you're very close to? No. You talk to them. It's a fellowship. Lord, help us to get that. It's fellowship. And in a fellowship, there is communication. And if it's a good fellowship, then it's two-way communication. Amen. It is literal dialogue. It's conversation. It's a sharing of ideas, not just one way. Oh, I mean, he's the God of the universe. Why would he pay attention to me? Because his word says that his eyes are over the righteous, excuse me, and his ears are attentive to our prayers. That's if Hutton attentive. When my child is praying, I'm listening. That's where faith comes in. Well, I can listen to every single, because he's God. The very hair on our head, each one of our heads, is numbered. Every tear he's bottled from the millions who have ever been born that are his children have all been bottled. Every single head hair has all been counted. No one gets lost in the shuffle. Hallelujah. He is God and we are not.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. God told the rebellious, I don't know which group it was at the time. He said, you thought I was all together like you. I'm not like you. And thank God he never will be.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Because the same God that parted the seas for Moses is the same God who is your father today.
Thank you, Lord.
That's good news.
Hallelujah.
Be encouraged. He didn't go on strike or what. That was it. I'm out of miracles. We'll use my last one when I raised Jesus from the dead. That was it. That took so much power. That drained all my batteries. It's not God.
Hallelujah.
Thank God. Because well after Jesus died over 2,000 years ago, my dad died in 68 and I was 9 years old. Mom died suddenly. Dad and mom. I mean, you've had all kinds. And thank God that the same God still is full of the same power.
Yes.
Same attentiveness.
Yes.
That promise in Joshua where the Lord speaks to Joshua, as I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. Well, that's for us. That's the same God who's with Moses is the same God who's with us today.
Yes.
Even in more of a present fashion, because Moses didn't have the indwelling Holy Spirit. We do. God is walking around inside of us in the person of the Holy Spirit all the time. And he says, I will never what? Leave you. So he doesn't go off. Nor forsake you. Which means to leave you in a dire strait. I know you heard this for 20 years. But again, that leave, I will never leave you, is tripled up in the Greek. I will never, ever, never, ever, never, ever leave you. That's emphatic. I'm going nowhere. That's why when you're praying and there's this feeling, and that's all it is, that you are alone, that God ain't listening. Now, those are things that Satan will try to tell you. Then what you do, you stand on the truth, God's word. And that truth is, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'm with you always, even to the end of this age. We can boldly say the Lord is, not will be or was, he is my helper. He invited us, come boldly to the throne of grace and find grace and mercy to help in time of need. That's an invitation to prayer, to conversation, to discourse, to dialogue, to two-way communication, for discussion. Don't reach, as the old saying goes, for the phone, reach for the throne. and discuss it with him. Lord, I'm having a hard time with the person at work. I really don't like him. And be honest with God, he already know your heart. Does he not know your heart, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters? So why sugarcoat it? I don't like her. Help me. And I know that that attitude is not godly. That's not right. But Lord, I'm being honest with you. And I need you to help me because you did speak in Hebrews 13, I think it is, where he says that we can boldly say that you are my helper. Well, I need help. Help me. Romans 5:5. For the love of God has been, past tense already, shed abroad in our heart. Whose love is in there? Love of God. Well, this prayer, here's the prayer. Here's the discussion. I don't like her. I know that's wrong and that's a sin. Help me to like her. And then help me to use what's already inside of me that I have right now as a present possession, and that is your love. So I can love this woman. I can. And then another part of that prayer, to help tone down your anger or your dislike towards someone, is remember yourself. Well, look how much you put up with me. I was an enemy of yours. Romans 1 says, we didn't even like to retain you in our thoughts when we knew it was you. For when they knew God, they didn't want to keep him in thoughts. They chose, we sinners, chose to worship the creature rather than the creator. So forget what you created. Forget that you're the creator. I'm going to worship what you created. Is that not blasphemous? And yet he still loves us. He didn't say, well, that did it. Yep, out you go. To hell you must go. Because there are only two places, heaven or hell, saint or sinner. Remember the Bible is only two. He had sheep and goats, those on the right hand, those on the left, saint, sinner, children of God, children of Satan. Only two. Only two. And two eternal final destinations, eternal heaven or eternal hell. Let's trust this Father who is our God. This one of the reasons, one of the designs for this series is to become more intimate with God, to really believe that he can be known. Here's a reminder again. We turned it probably a couple weeks ago. Let's turn it again. Matthew 11. Matthew 11. He can be known. Matthew 11. And look at verse. Yes, look at verse 25. Look at verse 25, Matthew 11, 25. This is an exciting, Lord, please help us understand this. Please help us to receive it. It's so incredible. It's so incredible. It's amazing he would say something like this to us. Lord, help us to get it and understand it. Verse 25. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to infants. By the way, that's why the wise and intelligent just don't get it. Because it cannot be, the truths of God's word can't be ascertained, received through natural wisdom, logic. Right? 2 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 2 said the natural man receiveth not the things of God. Because they're spiritually discerned. So the wise and prudent, they don't get it. Verse 26. Yes, Father, for this way was well pleasing to your sight. In other words, the fact that you chose to do that this way was well pleasing to you. Verse 27. All things have been handed over to me, that's Jesus speaking, by my Father, who's also your Father. And no one knows the Son except the Father. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son. Here's where I always go with the exaggerated. And he didn't say period. There's not a period after Son. Father, no one knows you but me, and no one knows me but you, period. No, there's a comma and a conjunction. And anyone to whom the Son wills to what? Reveal him. Wowee. Do you think this great Savior, our Redeemer, chooses and wills to reveal God to the children of God, his brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ being our elder brother? You most certainly, that you best believe he is. He does. You can know God. Know him. Lord, our problem is we still got you way, way, way out, a million miles away, when he is steadily reminding us, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's right inside. Greater is he that is in. I will walk in them and be their God, and they shall be my people. Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, Yeah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I like that, You've heard it 100 times, but you got to keep saying it over and over. Peter said, lest we let them, what, slip? And you know we let these things slip. We forget that God is right there, not out there. Help us to become, Father God, more in God, inside minded. He's right there. I will walk in them. You can halfway get any of this. He tells us in Revelations, he's going to make his eternal, permanent abode forever amongst us. That's going to be so cool. That's going to be so cool. He's going to live with us, among us, and be a neighbor to us. Lord, this is going over. Right over there, about 25 miles. Mother would be looking at the sun 93 million miles away. But you know what? My duty, I'm discharging my duty, teach it. It's up to you to do the Joshua 1 and 8, big 3. Speak the word, meditate day and night, and then do. And as you're meditating and studying, Timothy, study the shoulder. When you're doing all these things, revelation begins to come trickle down and from the head down into the heart. Go to the head first. And through meditation, eventually trickles down into the heart. But you got to put the work in. Amen. Can't just hear this, these incredible truths that sound ridiculous. Can't just hear that and walk away like, okay, well, I got that. Hey, pass me the cornbread. Food on your mind? Really? After that truth? Father God, these are incredible truths. But he said, no one knows the Father except the Son, and no one knows the Son except the Father. And in the verse 27, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal him. So he's saying, as a result, come to me then, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I might give you rest. Will. I will give you rest. The word rest in the Greek is I will ease and relieve and refresh your soul. The Greek, the Hebrew counterpart to that is Psalm 23. He said, for he restoreth my soul. Nephesh, same concept. He restores my soul. Amen. Sister Rolanda spoke about it by the power of the Holy Ghost in exhortation that our outer man is decaying and it's breaking down. Eyes going bad, mind going, since I came here, this, that, and the other, aches and pains all over, breaking down, but our inward man is being what? Renewed. How often? Day by day. You know, we say day by day, but it's day by day by day by day. No day goes by that our inward man is not being renewed. And the churches want to kick out the old folks. Then the ones you ought to be sitting down, getting them front row seats. They are prime timers. Because that inward man, if they've been walking with the Lord for real, then that inward man is our giants. Thank you, Jesus. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. Learn. There's that word. That's why we named this church Christian Learning Center. We're learning about the Word of Life. It's a Word of Life Christian Learning Center. We're learning how to be a Christian through the Word of Life. Yeah. Learn of me. That means somebody has to be teaching. How can they hear without a preacher? Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Wow. Is that a guarantee? That's why it just is disappointing and a bit disturbing when a child of God goes through a traumatic situation and the last place they want to come is church. Man, hurry up and open them doors. Let me get in the presence of God. Let me be amongst the people of God. Oh my Lord, let me hear the word of God. So I can be encouraged. I can be uplifted. I'm coming in dragging. He says here, you will find rest for your soul. You will find it. It's guaranteed. And he says, why? Because my yoke is easy. And my burden is light. It's easy. The word easy in the Greek means it is comfortable. It's pleasant. Comfortable. Pleasant. Because what you just come through was uncomfortable and very unpleasant. Well, take my yoke upon you. So I can give you some comfort. In the midst of the discomfort. You follow me? Not taking away the comfort. What good is peace if everything has to be peaceful around you? What good is God's peace? How does that stand out? It doesn't. That's just the peace like the world. God's peace is a peace that's so incredible. It passes all understanding. Well, why would it pass all understanding? Why would it pass all understanding, reason, logic? It just doesn't make sense. Because you're peaceful in the middle of war. In the middle of a storm. Father just died. Mother just died. Wife just died. Son just died. Whatever it may be. How you maintain calm in that? Not because there is no conflict. No. But because, wow, there is raging conflict. Somehow, you have a calm about you. Did Jesus not live that example out in front of us when there was literal raging seas? He's down there asleep. Love that already. Storm master, don't you care that we perish? Oh, Lord, wake up, dude. We finna die. I get Jesus got up, yawned, and probably stretched, then walked up to the top half of the boat. You know, just that right here, he got on them first about that lack of faith. He didn't even calm his things. Then he says, "Be still." It's like that. Then they were like silent. Oh, Lord, the winds and the sea obey this dude. Man, what kind of guy is this? Well, for us, recognize that same power is available for you right in the midst of your storm. David was empowered to kill his giant. That same God is empowering you to kill your giant. That's what you got to see. Because we all got giants up in here. Excuse my ghetto. We all got giants up in here. Talking black folks love prepositions. We love our prepositions. Up in here. We have giants. And really, a giant is an opportunity. How to word this? To embrace your weakness. Apostle Paul said, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Yeah. So a giant, you can't do nothing about. David, when Goliath over 8 feet, David, little fella. There's no way. It's called a giant for a reason. The way you handle giants is by recognizing I can't handle this giant. I don't know if you caught that. That might have been double talk. No, that wasn't double talk. I didn't get confused. The way to recognize, to handle your giant, to recognize I can't handle the giant. And then what do? You go get God's strength. All those promises, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Cast all your care on Him, for He cares for you. You go through all of those scriptures concerning being I can do. All things through Christ I can do. I'm empowered. That's a passive verb in the Greek. I am being strengthened and empowered by Christ. And therefore, I'm ready for any and everything that comes my way because of His strength, amen, who strengthens and empowers me. Hallelujah. Well, you handle a giant is they reckon that I cannot handle with this giant. I am weak. Weak means you are limited. You are... forgot all my other words, but you're limited. I'm drawing a blank on all the mothers. Yeah, you're frail. You know, all those words. Inadequate. Thank you. So you recognize, I cannot handle this. But your word said, I need to embrace my being weak and limited and inadequate. Because Apostle Paul said, now that I understand that, I'm going to glory, which means to boast in my weaknesses. He embraced it. For when I am weak in my own strength, what's implied, then He is strong. When I am weak, then I am strong in His strength. You understand that? You got to embrace the weakness. Embrace it. Embrace it. Recognize your limitations. Recognize your inadequacies. Recognize your lack of power and strength. Knowledge, sometimes weakness is not understanding something, not knowing what to do. How about in the symbolic speaking of life, you're at a crossroad, maybe a four-way street. I don't know which way to take. You're standing there wondering which way to go. Well, James 1 and about verse 7 says, if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Got to answer everything, y'all. Just got to run to Him. He's your Father. If you're born again, you're His child. And when you walk into the throne of grace, it's never like, hey, who let you in there? What's your name again? It's never that. I know that's comical, but think about it. It's never that. He never says, who are you again? I remember you from 1947, but I don't know who you are today. That's never God. He doesn't develop Alzheimer's. He does not develop dementia, and I'm being very serious. Because he's not human. That's the point I'm trying to get you. God is spirit. John 4:24, I think. And then worship in spirit and in truth. He's spirit. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. In Malachi, I'm the Lord. I change not. When I know you, I know you. No one can snatch you out of my hand.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, what a promise. Thank you.
Yes, what a promise.
Thank you, Jesus.
So when you face your giant, first step is recognize that there is a giant. Two, I can't handle this giant. And three, turn it over to the Lord,
right,
and He'll work it out.
Yeah. Old
school. Jesus will work it out. Hallelujah. And that's true. But you got to turn it over to the Lord. Casting all your cares upon Him because He cares for you. Do you really believe that?
Yes.
That's the challenge today. It's great to hear these great platitudes and say amen, hallelujah. But then do you really believe? Once you walk out that door and you walk into the door of your home and you're by yourself, do you really believe what you just heard? Or was it just nice? Maybe feel good? The word of God is not for you to feel good. That may be a byproduct, maybe, but it's for you to understand. Jeremiah didn't find God's word and said, "Ooh, I found God's word. I feel good." He went into a James Brown anointing. "I feel good. I found his word." No. He said, "I found them. And I what?" Boy, you better watch out. I may come back there and slap you 5 good times. All my charismatic ain't left now. I grew up charismatic. Then the Lord transitioned me to reform. But oh boy, you better watch yourself. Oh yes. I ate them. Yeah, I just didn't admire them. I ate them. Because I treasured them. I ingested them. Swallowed them, spiritually speaking. And then when they landed in my spiritual man's stomach, glory be to God, then those spiritual hydrochloric acids broke down that word, and it was able to then, the nutrients then were able to be absorbed by my spirit man. And it became the joy and the rejoicing of, somebody better watch yourself. I feel like running up in this piece. Ooh, wee! Woo! To preach myself happy. Thank you, Jesus. It's the word of God. Breaks my heart that it's not being taught in the pulpit. Breaks my heart. It's heartbreaking. I get very emotional over that. Because you're damaging God's people. You're not equipping them. Not if problems happen, when they are. Job, as sure as the sparks fly upward, man is destined for trouble. Job, man born of a woman, days are few and full of sorrow. God equipped the people of God for hardship. And not try to just tell them that old sunny day theology. That's not real. It weakens you. It puts you in an area of bewilderment and frustration and confusion because you were taught, hey, it's going to rain in your life. You taught sunny days, so when it starts raining, like, what is this? I'm like the manna from heaven. What is this? It's rain. Yes. And what about these big balls that's coming up? Hail. Yes. Go get an umbrella. Go back inside. I don't know what to do. Right? Teacher, that's the pulpit. We're damaging the people of God. Giving them false theology. A false hope. Really? I won't say they are false prophets, but certainly bordering on that. I grew up in charismatic. There's a lot of wrong teaching there. Thank God for God's grace and mercy during that time to chew the fat, if you will, and spit the sticks. But there are a lot of folks that are powerless to live this life out for the glory of God. Many moons ago, we were talking about prayer, and the Lord took it all the way over to all of this over here. So it's almost time to close again, but let's go back to chapter 6 of Matthew. As we were defining prayer, that's where we stopped. A discourse, a conversation with our personal Father. I like the word personal. And this is a reminder that it is a personal relationship. He is a personal Father.
Yes,
he is as much 100% your Father, Miss Palmer, as he is Auntie Alice, as he is Sister Landis, as your brother Tim. He is 100% your Father, as he is the next person, child of God. I had to share him. I love David's selfishness. There is a time to be selfish. The Lord is what? My shepherd, not a shepherd. He's mine. Jesus opened up the disciples' prayer with a pronoun, our Father. But if you're praying that yourself, that'd be my Father who is in heaven. My Father. My Lord. My Shepherd. Personal conversation with a personal Father. And you don't get a representative. We don't get an ambassador, someone who represents him. You get to go into the throne room and speak to him personally. And he invited us. So come on into the throne of grace. Come boldly. And by, not only did he invite us, but he taught us how to come. Not all mealy mouth or shrinking violet, but come in stomping like a big dog. My daddy told me to come up in here and talk to him. My Heavenly Father. My Abba. Prayer, as another reminder, the purpose of it is to praise, honor, glorify, and worship God. That's the purpose of prayer. I keep reminding, because we've been taught a lot of wrong concerning prayer. It's usually, prayer has been taught what we can get from God. And prayer is the vehicle that we can use to get from this heavenly piggy bank. And when you tell someone prayer is not that at all, it's to honor God. Like, what? Wait, what? Honor who? I thought I was trying to. I thought that was my. Yeah, you thought wrong. If you look at the three petitions again, are you still in Matthew? Yes. Look at the three petitions again. The first three, verse 9 and 10. The first three have nothing to do with us and everything to do with God. And if that's, to me, that's one of the overlooked things, is the order in which Jesus organized this prayer. He first petitions God for God's glory, God's honor, to worship God. The first petition is, hallowed be your name. That is, and again, I know y'all heard this, so I'm the pastor, repeat. Hallowed does not, that is not saying your name is holy. That was not a declarative sentence, a statement stating a fact. It's a request, it's a petition. May your name be hallowed. May it be regarded as holy. Not just a fact, your name is holy. Our Father who art in heaven, holy is your name. That's not what it's saying. Our Father in heaven, may your name be hallowed. May it be treated as holy. May it be regarded as holy. May it be esteemed as holy. Set apart, pure, other than. That's what the word holy means. Hagios. Pure, set apart, different, other than. That's the request. Name again, his person, all that he is, all that makes God, God, his majesty, his power, all of his perfections. Remember, God is perfectly perfect in all of his perfections. May that be treated as holy and separate and distinct and hallowed. Do you understand that? For your glory, for your honor, for your name. Not me. It's not about, let me help me get to what I want, what I can get. A lot of us, we call it hand praying. What does that mean? What I can get from God, from his hand. We don't want nothing to do with his face, which is God himself. And Jesus flips it upside down. No, we're going to honor your face who you are first before we ask from your hand. Oh, bless the name of the Lord Most High. Our attitude is in the wrong spot, y'all. We're doing this thing backwards. Give me. I don't care who you are. Or if you're in the hood, I don't care who you is. I'm finna get, I want what's mine. And Jesus said, no, pray this way. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. May your name be hallowed. Secondly, the second petition, your kingdom come. Kingdom again. What is, a kingdom implies what? A king and subjects who are loyal to the king. A kingdom is made up of a king and their loyal subjects. For his kingdom to come, where is God king, if you will, in the lives of his believers? Where does he rule and reign? Or where should he rule? Say it again. In the heart. In the heart. Your kingdom come, rule and reign in the hearts of your people. May your sphere, S-P-H-E-R-E, may a sphere of your kingdom in the hearts of your people come up under, as your loyal subjects, under your control as our king. Rule and reign in us. Your kingdom come. And thirdly, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Doesn't that fit the kingdom, the kingdom coming, ruling in the hearts of man? Then what should we do in response to that? Do his will. Obey his word. And may it be done on earth, just as it is done in heaven. Wow. It's perfectly, yeah, that's a good twisted face there. She said, ooh-wee, that was an ooh-wee face. Your kingdom, your will being done as perfectly. How is it done in heaven? All the time. Perfectly. But it's a request. It's what we got to aim for. Rule in us. Be hallowed. Rule in us. Let your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. And then the last three petitions come to us. Give us our daily bread. Those are your natural physical needs. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our others. Those are spiritual needs. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That for protection. The last three are for us. But he didn't get to those three, our natural needs, our spiritual needs, and protection, until we gave him his glory. Father God, you are our Father. And you are our Heavenly Father. So you are in heaven. And we're praying that may your name be glorified, your majesty, your honor, your perfect perfections. May they be hallowed, set apart, honored, esteemed, exalted, extolled, who you are. And may you rule and reign freely in our hearts and minds, day by day, so that your will eventually is done on earth amongst your people, by your people, as it is in heaven. Yes, give us our, supply our daily needs. You said you will, my God, supply all my needs. All means natural and spiritual. So yes, supply our daily needs by the bread. And supply our spiritual needs too. We'll forgive others as we've been forgiven. And then thank you for protection, because we have an enemy out there, 1 Peter 5 and 8. Your enemy, the devil, is as a roaring lion. So deliver us from temptation. In other words, temptations that would overpower us and overwhelm us. Deliver us from that. We will add on, because it is true, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and ever. For ages and ages, world without end. And the people of God said, amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.